In 1 Corinthians 13, chapter, verse 11, which was read for us this morning, the Apostle Paul said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." And this morning we talked about the good qualities of children. And, you know, we think about children and their qualities, we can think about it in maybe three different aspects. And as we talked about this morning, there are certain characteristics that are good, such as the fact that the children often are innocent, they're not, you know, born in sin, that they have faith in things because they have faith. They trust the parents, they trust people. In a sense also that they are sympathetic, they have compassion for others, the fact that they can be easily satisfied. And we talk about forgiveness also, that they can forgive. They don't hold grudges. And I thought about that as you had the outline this morning, that probably, as I said earlier, that we got point number one here. And I was wondering how many people, when I was filling out, had what, 5 points filled out. Now, 1 point and then A, B, C, D. And how many of you are thinking about, how long is this lesson going to be? But however, as you look at this here, this lesson will go into another aspect of this. And that these are good qualities. And we realize some of the qualities of children are good for a time period. That a child that is 4 or 5 years of age, that there are certain things we expect out of them, certain things we understand about them, but as they grow up, we have to say they outgrow those things. They become more mature, and therefore things that a child does at 5 may not be appropriate when they're 8 or 9 or 10 or 13 or 14 or 16 years of age. And also there are other qualities that we have to say that are childish. And what I mean by that is that they're not good qualities, really, no matter what age you're talking about. That they're childish behavior that people have. And so we're going to look at this here because Paul talks about putting away those certain things. And as you think about that, again, if I would ask you tonight to list some things that are childish behavior. List what maybe some of your pet peeves or things you have observed in others that really just kind of like, you know, you don't really like. And so what would they be? And I thought about some number of things that, and one of those is that children, sometimes they gossip and sometimes they tattletale. In class or in, elementary school, you have somebody does something wrong and a little child will go to a teacher and say, you know what little Johnny did or you know what a little Susie did, and they want to tattletale. They want to get them in trouble a lot of times. And as you look at that there, that you understand that they're trying to, sometimes they're just trying to get even with somebody because they did something they didn't like. And as the Bible looks at it, and we think about people, sometimes people can be like the same thing, do the kind of same thing. How many of the times in the Bible are we warned about the sins of the tongue? Well, and a lot of times those things are things like crude language or profanity, taking God's name in vain, those kind of things. But a lot of times it also warns about the idea of gossip and tattletale. Over in 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, and talk about widows and those who were younger that maybe their husband died, and about helping them, those who they should not help. And he says this, that because besides they're going to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. And again, Proverbs is just filled with many Proverbs talking about the person that spreads gossip is actually kind of like starting a fire, or that when there are problems, you almost always look at somebody over here that's kind of egging on or kind of, again, spreading rumors about somebody else. You know what they said about you, or have you heard what this person said? And again, we understand that's not good when there are people are saying things that really have no purpose except to try to get even or try to get back at somebody. And so that'd be one of the qualities I put on there that, you know, sometimes childish people do. They just simply spread things or say things they should not say. And all of us are warned about that, again, in the Bible. But another quality that they have, or another attribute they have to put away, is the desire for attention. A little child, a lot of times, does want your undivided attention. And in fact, they may come to you and they don't think you're paying much attention. They may actually just get in your face. You know, have you ever had a child do that? Just, yeah, literally get in your face and kind of look at me. And if that doesn't work, then they may have to do something drastic so as to get in trouble. How many of us have known of children, especially get older in age, maybe they realize mom and dad's really not paying attention to them, so they're going to They're on this undestructive. They're on tear of something so that you have to pay attention to them. And then that's one of those qualities of children because they do want attention. Sometimes adults kind of like the same thing. They want attention. And they may think, well, if I not get enough attention, then I want something to be about me. I'm going to do something to try to get attention. We ain't read about people like that in the Bible that want to be, we would say, the top dog. You know, we read about a man by name Diotrephes. When you look over in 3 John verse 9. And so I wrote a church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Wouldn't actually accept an apostle in, as far as into their number or to their teaching. And just knows everybody that he wanted to have a preeminence. He wanted to be number one. And yeah, that's not a quality that is good because you're not always going to be the center of attention. Yesterday we got together and it was actually celebrating Theo's birthday. Now, it wasn't really his birthday. His birthday is 12th, but we all got together and celebrated the 15th. And however, his older brother is 4 and can understand this here, but he had a little bit of trouble understanding it wasn't really about him. The presents weren't his presents, and he wasn't necessarily the center of attention all the time. Well, again, adults can be locked like that. If it's not about me, then they're going to try to make it about them. And that's not a good quality to have. And then we may look at it and think about envy and jealousy. Like, children can become envious and jealous of one another. And I was trying to make the distinction and definition between envy and jealousy. You know, envy is when somebody has something and you want it. You wish to have it. And jealousy seems to be that even though I don't want it, I don't want you to have it type deal. And children can be that way. They're playing with a toy. And as they're playing with it, and then maybe they get tired of it, so they decide on it, put it down and go to another toy. And then they see another playmate that goes over there and picks up that toy. What's that childhood? Runs right back there and says, that's mine. You know, give it back to me. I don't want them to have it. Is the attitude sometimes children can have. We understand that's not a good quality to have. And the Bible makes a point to us as far as envy is bad, that whenever we look at somebody else and maybe have that envious eye, the little green monster has been described as. Or maybe we're jealous because somebody's getting attention or somebody's having success and we understand that it's not about me. We may be like that. The Bible tells us about this here in Proverbs 14 verse 30. It says, sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. You know, it goes down deep. And therefore, it's something we have to really work on if you ever look at somebody and become envious of them. And then another quality you look at is that children crave amusement. Again, they want things to be fun and they want things to be, again, play things to deal with. And we call them toys, basically, children. And as they grow up, they should require less and less amusement. They should require fewer and fewer toys. They start using things that are more helpful, I would put it, in life and in their lives. And worship. That we come together and worship. I understand that, you know, a young child that you try to keep them amused, you try to keep them entertained, or you try to keep them occupied. And as you grow up, though, that there should be a point where they start looking at song books, looking at the Bible, turn Bible passages, because they're learning more, they're able to do more. And as they grow up more, then they start understanding more about what you're actually saying and teaching the Bible. And so it should be a case where the child becomes engaged in the worship services and understands what we're doing. And that's a good thing there. But a child that keeps on being simply amused is not good. They are to grow up so as they understand what's happening. And same thing about adults. As adults, we are coming together and we come together to worship. Over in John 4, verse 24 said that God's spirit, those who worship him, must worship in spirit and truth. And worship is an active involvement among people. It means that we are participating. We are bowing down to God and we are not just hearing somebody singing and we're not just hearing somebody say prayers. We're not just hearing the lesson, but we're engaged in those things. We're doing those things. And if you're not, then you're simply a spectator. And so we need to think about the fact of how we are to be engaged in our worship services and not somebody craved amusement. And over in Acts 17 chapter, an example of a group of people that were coming together at Mars Hill. And it's talking about the fact they came together in order to worship these idols. And Paul, in speaking to them in Acts 17 verse 23, says, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I ain't found an altar with this inscription, therefore the one he worshiped without knowing him I proclaim to you. And what they were doing is, the Bible said, they were coming together, depending on your translation, some said they came to hear something new. They wanted to hear some kind of new fantastic story. Probably fables that they have grown up listening to and odd ideas that could not be substantiated, theories, those kind of things. And he said, you come together to hear this, but I'm here to tell you about the truth. I'm here to tell you about the true God and not just what you are speculating about. And as you see here on the chart here, the last part of verse 33 said, so Paul departed from them. And what it means is, you read that passage there, that after they heard what Paul said, they said, well, that's good. I want to hear about tomorrow, but they weren't taking it seriously. They were simply considering another idle speculation type of thing, something new again. They heard something new they want to hear a little bit more about, but they weren't really taking it seriously. We need to take the gospel seriously. We need to take our service to God very seriously. And so that's the quality that they put away, of attribute of children, of grace and music. And then another thing is that they want to play. Children want to play. In fact, a lot of times, play is good for us. Again, the exercise, and we get to do things, we're involved with things. But then also you realize that a child wants to play until they realize maybe what that playing is actually work. Oh, I remember when I was 10 years old. And I finally got to do something I hadn't done before. I got to go out and mow the yard. Yep, I got to go out there and to push mower, and I got to go out there and push that yard. And you know, that's what I've seen for years and years, wonder what I was like. And it was really a great thing to do. Until the next time, and the time after that. And then I started realizing, okay, that thrill of the excitement of something new, of this thing pushed behind this thing, that was actually work. And you ever heard a child somebody trying to say something to you and stop all of a sudden and say, hold here, this is work, isn't it? And yes, it is. That's actually what it is. It is work. And all of a sudden, it loses the fun aspect to it. That child, they don't want to do it anymore. And same thing about religion, about service to God. Sometimes people think, okay, it's not as long as it's new, as long as it's kind of something I'm not used to doing. I may be all excited about that, but you know, when things kind of become where I'm doing this over and over again, then all of a sudden they start realizing, wait a minute, this really isn't just fun. This is work, isn't it? And the Bible said there are things in our service to God that really is work. Over in Philippians 2 verse 12. There it said, therefore, my beloved, if you have always obeyed not in my presence only, but also much more than I ask this, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. That doesn't mean I could choose my own plan of salvation, but what it says is, that there are things God intends for us to do, and that is called working to please Him, to serve Him. Over in John 6, verse 29, when Jesus was asked the question, what is it that you know what to do? What's the work of God? And He said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. Believing is work. We have to study to believe. We have to prepare ourselves to teach. We have to, you know, work at singing, at our prayers, those kind of things. So that's all involved in working. Helping your neighbor is work. And so these are things here that we realize. There are things that, you know, it's not always fun. And yes, we have used to do this, but it's what we have to do to serve God. It's work in order to serve God. But then another quality that children have is our attribute is that they're really not very steadfast. And what I mean by that is they're, a lot of times, their sense of commitment is not very deep. They, you know, that they want to do something, and then they decide they want to do something else, and then something else. And they have a child, for instance, that they decide, I want to play a musical instrument. And so they start with this musical instrument, and after a little while, they get tired of that, and they decide, I want to do something else. Maybe they want to have an ant farm, and maybe after that, they want to actually, you know, some other kind of endeavor. And they just kind of go from one hobby to another hobby to another hobby. And again, that's children that they're really not steadfast. And as you look at what we think about in our service to God, though, we are to be steadfast. And that means consistent. It's easy to do something once every now and then. Or it's easy to do it whenever I feel like it. Or whenever it's convenient for me to do that. But what about the times when it simply is, again, going back to work in a sense of when it's not convenient, when it's not easy? What about then? Well, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. And there Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I want you to be consistent, brethren. I want you to be here. I want you to be serving God every day, the best of your ability. And so that's the quality we need to have. You know, not being steadfast is sometimes a problem children have. And then another one is that children sometimes that they can be discouraged. And not necessarily intending to. Sometimes because they just don't realize how something sounds, they may come up and as far as they may come up to somebody like me, they may say, why is it you're fat? And, you know, and I'm taken back by that or something like, you know, why is it you look so goofy? You know, some along that lines there, you think, man, that's a, you know, not many people can get by that, but child can sometimes. However, as they grow up, they kind of learn differently, but sometimes, again, they just say things because they don't really have that filter yet. And it can hurt your feelings sometimes. And realize that's again the way children are. And adults sometimes say things. We need to think about how we say things. Not just what we say, but how we say. But I'm sure all of us have been in a position of saying something and realizing after it came out of our mouth, that's not really the way I wanted it to sound. That's not really how I meant it to sound to the other person. I can understand why they'd be upset by that. And so in that situation, the Bible says, in Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you answer each one. Now again, every one of us, I think, have had one time or another, had to go back to somebody and call somebody and said, you know, when I said that, you know I was really joking. You know I didn't really mean that the way it sounded. Are we okay? Are we all right with each other? Always had done that, but we need to really try to make sure that we are trying our best to really make sure our grace seasoned with salt is how we can describe our speech. And the final thing is, as these qualities or attributes, is that children pout. And they get mad, as said, and they go sit down in the corner someplace and they just kind of swell there for a while there and they're angry for a while and they're pouting what they're doing. Have you ever known adults do the same thing? They're upset about something and they just go to the corner and kind of pout for a while. They just, and as you look at that there, again, that's what Paul once said, I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. These are all attributes, and I'm sure that this list could go on for many other things that we could have on this year, but these are some of the things that came to my mind. But I want to go one step more with this lesson, and that is, well, I want to think about, children need to be taught to put away childish things, and by children here, I don't just necessarily mean young children, physical age children, I'm also talking about children in Christ. About all of us, whenever we obey the gospel, that there are certain things we have to be taught to put away. And that's really what Paul's dealing with here. The church Corinth was acting as babes in Christ. And Paul mentioned that in 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, that they're still babes in Christ when they should be growing up. And so we look at this thing and realize that the idea of putting away childish things, that over in Exodus 10 verse 1, you find there, said, now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, if I harden his heart and the hearts of servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. And he's saying, I want you to see these things, but I want you to be able to tell others. I want you to be able to tell your children, teach your children. How many times is that stressed in the Bible? About teaching your children the Word of God. And not only that, but also teaching the babes in Christ about the Word of God. Also, I was stressing to them the importance of God's Word. And so we're putting away childish things, first of all, by the parents. That God addressed this in a sense that he wanted parents to be adamant in teaching their children God's Word. Over in Exodus 12, verse 26. And it goes on, as shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? They shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice of the Lord. who passed over the house of the children of Israel when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. I want you to teach each generation the importance of this, because they're going to answer that question. And again, that's something we need to keep in mind as far as our own children. As we do things, we may think they just know it automatically, and they don't. Spend all the time teaching them about that, but also based in Christ. That whenever they obey the gospel, they need to be taught why we do these things that we're doing. One thing about this here, that stresses a number of other passages. Over in Deuteronomy, I'm going to try to turn over to Deuteronomy. I have Regina to mark these passages earlier. Now if I could just get to them. Over in Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. And notice, read with me verse 16, verse 21. And there it says, take heed yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Lest the Lord anger be aroused against you, and he shuts up the heavens so there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and your soul, and then bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house, on your gates, and that your hands, that your days, and the days of your children may be multiplied, and lands the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, are the days of the heavens above the earth. You know, that's almost word by word the same thing said in Deuteronomy 6th chapter. And as you go on, we find over in Deuteronomy the 31st chapter. And you look over there in verse 9 to verse 13. And there it says, so Moses wrote this law and delivered to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years of the appointed time in the year of release of the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses, he shall read the law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather people together, men and women and little ones, and strangers within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. Again, the same ideas, stressed over and over again, and that is, I want you to make sure that in order to put away childish things, they have to be taught to put away childish things. That adults have to be taught to put away childish things. And so as you think about this here, first of all, how are we to teach our children about God, about the facts of the Bible? Well, one thing is, yes, important to know what the Bible says, but also the meaning of what the Bible. How important that is what we read in the Bible. In other words, and therefore talk to them about God's Word. And that's also the same thing about young Christians. But they had to be taught the Word of God over and over again. And not only that, but also talk to them about God's Word, and then also about teaching them the proper way to an attitude of behavior in worship services. Again, young children had to be taught that. And that sometimes they may consider playtime, but you know, as they grow up, they need to understand this is not playtime, this is worship. It's an important time for us to be together. And as adults, we need to think about how important this is to us to worship God in spirit and in truth also. So they need to understand that. And not only that, but also, they need to be that there's a participation part here as far as opening up song books and looking at the Bible, maybe helping with it. And I notice here a lot of the young people, young ones here, that you take them and they're opening the Bibles in front of them and they're working on their lesson sheets. And that's good. That's something that they should be involved in. I've been to certain places where I notice, maybe not necessarily young children, but sometimes teenagers, you know, that they're sitting back there and they're doing everything except for thinking about what's going on inside the worship services. They haven't been taught that, to actually take part, or they haven't learned a lesson. And so we need to do that and just understand that worship is not playtime. This is time to serve God. And finally, teach them that being Christian is important to you. That's important to each one of us. It should be important to each one of us. We wanted to show them and let them know that it is important to them also. And they're going to learn that because it's important to us. As you look at this here, I'll just kind of end here by this final statement here. Be here. You know, be here at services. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, tonight. Because you're here. But a lot of times people think, I don't know why my children hadn't obeyed the gospel. And a part of the reason sometimes that when I look at the service of the parents, I see that they're not there a lot. It's not important to them, and it's translated to the children. Our children understand it's really not that important. It's the lesson they learn. And so be here. And so look at this here, assume we end by saying, and I'm not sure why they quit hearing on there. I didn't realize that. But anyway, so on my tablet, just then it's translated up there for some reason. But anyway, it's the idea of do our service to God so that people can grow. Now we want to grow, and the best way of growing is by doing what God says to do. And so Paul ends talked to the brethren here at Corinth about being the kind of Christian they ought and putting away childish things. Oh, I appreciate your kind attention tonight. And we have a song selected now as one for our encouragement. Let me see if I can turn this off or not. I did it. All right. And so we can aid you in your service to God tonight to obey the gospel. Any way we can help you in prayers or talking to you, let us know as we stand and as we sing.